All right. So some good news. Again, we talked about the report momentarily. Trevor Goosby leaning towards coming back to Texas. One insider site actually reported that he is coming back to Texas. Hopefully that becomes official this week. That's obviously massive. We've spent plenty of time talking about portal needs for the Longhorns. It's nice not having left tackle as one of those needs.
You're right.
Because those guys are very hard to find, and they are very expensive when you need to find them out of the portal. So that's great news with Trevor Goosby. Also with the offensive line bug, this is something you talked about. Nothing official yet, but I will be giving you a lot of credit if it does happen. Two Michigan starting offensive linemen are in the portal, and both of them are getting interest from Texas.
No doubt.
Their right guard and their right tackle are both in the portal. And again, both of them getting Texas interest.
Yeah, it should. I mean, you've watched them. You watch enough film of them. You know just about everything about them. You know, you have all their films from all year. You know, you may have spies at their practices. Who cares? And nobody cares. It's a freaking bowl game. Michigan doesn't care. They're at every practice that you have, whether it's a bowl or not. But you get to meet, rub shoulders with those guys. You're at banquets with those guys. If you're the offensive line coach, you get to talk to them. There's nothing wrong with that. When you're on a bowl trip, you know?
Yeah. Do some peer recruiting while you're out there.
Absolutely. I thought they would.
Yeah, and that's the difference between like a typical road game or just a game you have to travel for. You usually get to town a day before kickoff, and then you fly back home right after kickoff. But obviously with these bowl games, like Texas and Michigan both got to Orlando on Friday before the game, and then the game was on Wednesday. So you got all these activities and all that time that you spend together in the same.
Yes, the offensive lineman versus your offensive lineman. It's at bowling alleys and stuff. I mean, you get, as you're the coach, you're going to hang out with your boys. You're going to get to meet some of their guys, talk to them, you know, slip that. Are you really happy there? You know, you got a new coach. What are you going to do?
Right. And that obviously helps Texas's chances here. And the names, Andrew Sprague is the right tackle who entered the portal. Jake Guanera is the right guard
who entered
the portal. And it's interesting, you know, Andrew Sprague, a tackle, like Texas has Brandon Baker coming back at right tackle.
So
I wonder, but yeah, well, I think Brandon Baker, like the plan would be if Texas brings in a guy like Andrew Sprague, who's 6'8", by the way.
Yeah, he's huge.
You can't put that guy at guard. Like, that guy's staying outside. So if Texas were to bring in Andrew Sprague and plug and play him as a starter, then Brandon Baker would probably shift inside. There are a lot of people who think Baker maybe long-term projects better as a guard anyways. I thought Brandon Baker was pretty solid in his first year as a starter, and I thought he got a lot better.
He did. You know, he had his struggles here or there. You know, at the last game, he had a couple grabs and stuff. But I think he ended out being pretty good.
Yeah.
The guard would be perfect for him.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, I think if Texas, again, if they can find an upgrade at right tackle, then Brandon Baker would shift inside. But they're not just going to bring in a right tackle for the sake of bringing one in. I think they're okay. And I can tell you that I'm okay with Baker being the right tackle again in 2026. But Andrew Sprague is a guy who's being looked at. And then Jake Guanera started. I think he took over in week 3 and was the starter at right guard for the Wolverines from that moment on. Both of those guys have multiple years of eligibility remaining too. So it's not just rental players. If those guys end up signing with the Longhorns, you've got guys who can help this team not only in 26, but also in 2027.
Yeah,
as well.
Some young guys. Yeah.
And you know, both of those guys, I've heard that it's Texas versus returning to Michigan. Maybe some other schools will get in the mix, but again, right now, that's the tea leaves, is that it's Texas versus Michigan. The Wolverines hired a good coach with Kyle Whittingham, and he's done a pretty good job so far preventing a bunch of departures in the portal. But again, it is a coaching change that we're talking about.
Yeah, this is departure week right here coming up. Although there's some guys, like you said, there's some guys playing in these games that may not be at the same school either.
Right.
A lot of games to be played here with some pretty good players.
Right. One last thing. Michigan has a new offensive line coach, too. So, you know, the position coach, the guy who recruited those two to Michigan, is not being retained by Kyle Whittingham on his new staff. Mm. So another reason maybe for optimism for those two. But, yeah, you're right. And look, I think it's also important to note that there's that 48-hour rule to where when a player requests his school to enter his name in the transfer portal, the school has 2 business days or 48 hours to actually put his name in. So there are some guys who might be entering the portal who have not yet shown up.
You're right.
In the portal. And there are guys who, you know, haven't made their decisions yet who will at some point be officially entering the portal. So this thing isn't done. There's already more than 1,000 players in there. And yeah, again, we are far from done right now. So,
and what do we have? And it's the last day to say you're in is the 15th.
Yes.
So this thing can drag on forever.
Yeah. Yeah. The last day you can enter is the 15th, but you don't have to commit and sign by January 15th.
So what is the day? Is there a signing date for this now?
I don't think there's like a date for, maybe there is a date for when you have to. I'm sure most of that's up to the school's discretion. It's like, we would like you here by winter workouts. We would like you here to enroll you for the spring semester. We would like you to be here by spring football. Maybe it's
different. I would like to be missing winter workouts, y'all.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, like Aaron Rodgers and like Tom Brady, like super established NFL veterans. You know, they're like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and sit out OTAs and I'll sit out some mini camps. And if you want to find me, fine. I just don't want to show up. I've done enough to where I don't have to show up. I don't know how many colleges are going to be like, yeah, we're okay with you not being here for winter workouts. Like, if you want to play here, you're going to sign by X date.
Wow.
So I think, yeah, we'll get most of our answers within the next 2 weeks of where guys are ultimately signing. But mentioned it earlier, most of the big name players, unless they're following a coach, a couple of UNT guys like followed Eric Morris to Oklahoma State. But unless
I saw that he had like 3 or 4 guys that ended up there. Did the running back end up there?
The quarterback ended up there. Vandergriff's own Drew Mestemaker. Caleb Hawkins, the running back, I think is the strong belief is that he is going to.
I thought I saw that he is there. Yeah.
Oh, maybe he did. Maybe he did commit over the weekend. Yeah, it looks like he did. I missed that. So Caleb Hawkins, a guy that, you know, some people linked to Texas if they couldn't get Jaden Ball or Isaac Brown, which as of now, they don't have either of those guys. But Caleb Hawkins going to Oklahoma State.
So. Yeah, you signed a couple offensive linemen. That'll start making the running backs think about it too. If those names can pop up, then yeah, they're coming.
I think so. I think so. That will help. And also, you know what else will help, Buck?
What about the academics? It's not going to help.
Dude, if I am a like 4 or 5-star transfer portal recruit and I'm taking a visit, and
somebody mentions school.
The coach that I, if he even mentions school,
what
class, the academics, I'm on the way out.
Would that do it to you? Would that make your decision?
Tell me about the money. Tell me about my playing time.
Tell me about my car, my housing, and my women.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Call me a POS. Guess what?
Yes.
I've been calling myself that for years. I've been calling myself that for years.
Is Trey Wisner taking visits? I mean, what's the insight? What's the skinny on that dude?
Yeah, Trey Wisner, I think, has an Ole Miss visit planned for this week. And I think he's got a Florida State visit planned for this week. So,
Go to Florida State.
Why do you hate these guys so much?
Go to the land of nobodies right now.
You know, they've got some money. And it's a historic program, right? Florida State.
They were ponying up enough to get – is there a quarterback – their coach is back for another year?
Yeah, they couldn't afford to fire Mike Norvell, so he is back for another year. But, yeah, a couple of visits for Trey Wisner already. As of this moment, as I just glitched there, sorry about that, Trey Wisner is the 3rd highest-ranked running back in the portal. So he is going to get some interest from around the country, even though it was a disappointing 2025 year for him. And Texas obviously let him walk versus paying him what he was looking for. Trey Wisner is going to get a nice payday, and he's going to have opportunities, plural, in the open market. I know you hate that. I know you hate when.
No, I like it for him because I wouldn't give him the kind of money he's looking for here.
Right. Well,
I would definitely send him packing.
It's an interesting.
I would try a lot to keep him here, but I would try a lot to get better. You know,
well, what do you do if you're Texas and Jaden Ball doesn't leave Florida? We've heard that Isaac Brown is not leaving Louisville. Those are seemingly the top two targets there. Like, now Caleb Hawkins, the number one running back in the portal, is off the books going to Oklahoma State. Like, what do you do? Is there a point? Is there a point where you call Trey Wisner back and say,
well, I still would call him back, but I'm not giving him the kind of money that he wants. I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get him maybe more than he got before, but I'm not paying him $1 million. He's not worth $1 million. I'm sorry. I got to be a better coach, and some of these kids that are, you know, coming in here or that are still here, I'm not talking about Michael Terry. I'm talking about, you know, Christian Clark is okay as a solid backup now. From what I saw, he can get a little bit better and will get even better than he is right now. Yeah. But I'm not putting my national championships hopes on Christian Clark. There's no way.
Well, I wonder if this thing will get to a point to where Trey Wisner gets a call back from Texas and they pay him closer to what he's looking for. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we'll get there. I do think Texas is going to find somebody who's an upgrade in the portal. But at what point, if they keep striking out on their top guys, do they consider going down that well? I don't know. I'd put it at like 3% for the record.
One of these five stars that you speak so highly of as freshmen have to be a five-star freshman and look like it in game one. Somebody's got to get those guys prepared to be ready to go. If they have that kind of talent.
You trust that over bringing back Trey Wisner?
Well, the Cooper kid, I mean, it sounds like he's got everything you're looking for. Then coach him up and let's go.
Yeah. All right, we'll see.
Giving up that kind of money. I've seen that guy enough to know that $1 million is not worth my money for him. I got to do better.
I don't disagree.
I got to do close or I got to do better.
Right. Right. Yeah, right now, again, Wisner, the third-ranked running back in the portal. Hollywood Smothers is the second-ranked running back.
Is that the North Carolina State dude?
That's the NC State dude. I haven't heard anything about him visiting Texas to this point in the portal cycle.
And once again, BK, it the highly recruited ones or whatever. I mean, if somebody called me up on the phone and said, "Here, I want you to look at this guy. He's at such and such state. That's not a state, you know, whatever." Right. And say, "Listen, this guy may fit you what you're looking for." I'd do that too. I mean, that's why you got a GM and all these people that get a little extra bucks over there to watch film. Yeah. I just find me somebody and say, tap me on the shoulder and say, "I want you to just check this out," you know.
Right. And that could be what they do. I mean, there's plenty of running backs out there. They could opt for a running back by committee bid if they're not able to find a, you know, true bell cow. Caden Durham from LSU entered. I think he's a solid enough player to be a guy who contributes to Texas. Relique Brown from Arizona State entered. I think he's good enough to be a contributing player. Dylan Edwards at Kansas State. These are some of the other, you know, highly ranked guys at running back in the
portal right now. That have major college experience already.
That have experience at, like you said, yeah, major colleges and Power Four.
Right.
You know, they're not going to move the needle for as many folks as some of those top guys. But again, I mean, Isaac Brown doesn't enter the portal. What can you do? Jaden Ball doesn't enter the portal.
You can't do anything about that. No.
Do anything about that. No. I guess you probably could. Find a way to get a hold of their agent and say, you know what, actually, we're going to offer this instead. So tell them.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, neither of those guys are entering the portal. And I have not heard, and I was doing a lot of digging last night, of other running back targets that Texas is going after. I have not heard another name besides those two. Again, portal's only been open for 3 days. A lot has yet to unfold. But it almost feels like it's back to square one for Texas if those guys don't end up entering, which it feels like they're not.
Yeah. I here are the three names, you know, that you have. Yeah, I think you got an opportunity. If you have to, as you said, running back by committee, because you're going to have to anyway if you don't get a top-notch guy. What you think is your number one is really not a number one. He's probably a number two and a half. So you're going to have another guy to go along with it, and including a freshman. Just get the guys ready to play. Let's go.
I'm not doing that. I'm not just getting guys ready to play. You got to get a running back. You have to get somebody. That is the.
You just said if they don't go, if those guys don't go,
you got to get somebody else. I know. You can't just like, oh, shoot, we can't get our top two guys. So we're just Derek Cooper. Hope you're ready. Hey, Jet Walker from Georgetown, you're a 3-star who we offered it very late in the cycle, but we hope you're ready. Like, you can't. That's not win now.
Cooper's a 5-star. Get him ready to play.
He's a 4-star. He's not a 5-star.
Okay. He's a 4-star. That they think he's good enough to have a scholarship to come to Texas. Yeah, get him ready to play.
Yeah, well, that's not what I want to do. So I have bigger goals than relying on a freshman to fix your running game that was your worst in 81 years. I want a known quantity to get that turned around. So we'll see. So there's that from the portal. Not so good news from the running back front for Texas on a Monday.
Bring back Jared Gibson out of FAMU or wherever you said he's going.
Purdue. Yeah, no, I'm not trying to talk Jarek Gibson out of the.
Oh, you're not trying to talk that guy back?
No, best of luck, Jarek. I'm not sending him to FAMU like you were. I'm not trying to bring him back to Texas.
Well, he was going to play at FAMU.
He could play at Purdue. It's Purdue.
We'll see.
Yeah, they suck. Really,
he won't be one of the nation's leaders, believe me.
Yeah, maybe no. He won't. All right. Buck, Texas basketball.
Yes, I did watch some of that.
Boy, if talking about the running backs and the portal isn't depressing enough, Texas basketball, tough one. They dropped their SEC opener Saturday night at the Mood, 101-98 the final in overtime. They lose to Mississippi State. Texas was an 8.5-point favorite. This was supposed to be one of the easier games that Texas had in league play. And they lost it on their home floor. It's a bad loss for the Longhorns. And Texas had their chances. They were down for most of the game, but they went on a run midway through the second half and took a lead. And Texas was actually up by 7 with less than 2 minutes to play in regulation, Buck. And they blew it. And then in overtime, they blew it a few more times. Tremont Mark, what do you call him?
The herky-jerky lefty.
Herky-jerky lefty. He got to the free throw line with Texas down by 2 with 9 seconds left, and he missed a free throw. So Texas had a chance to tie it at the end of overtime to potentially force a second overtime, and instead Tremont Mark missed a free throw. The Longhorns had to play the fouling game, and Texas missed a 3.
He's not a clutch dude. He's one of those guys when you were just – well, he's a streaky kind of guy. He's at the free throw line.
Yeah, missed two.
He's 29 years old.
Feels like it. Missed two big free throws in overtime. Missed one like a minute earlier. That would have closed the gap a little bit. And then that was obviously the biggest one. Again, a chance to tie the game with less than 10 seconds to go, and he misses it. So, yeah, that's one of your leaders. That's a guy who's played college basketball for a long time. I think he's actually 24 years old, which is pretty ridiculous. And now, Texas missed 11 free throws as a team. They got to the line 40 times. That's the good news, but they missed 11 of them, and they missed some timely ones. And the biggest moment in the game was late in regulation. Dalen Swain, who had easily his best game as a Longhorn, but I would say his best game as a college basketball player, he fouled out late in regulation on some garbage calls. His fourth and his fifth foul were both horrible calls. He was all of the offense for Texas. He had 34 points and 13 rebounds in 36 minutes. And as soon as he fouled out, Texas kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I know their coach. The coach has got to be upset that they don't move their feet the way they should be. They're too good of athletes to do some of the stuff that they do. When guys go by them, you know, they do the reach arounds and all that stuff. And they, you know, officials call that stuff. You look at it and say, well, that's not a foul. But anytime you swipe by a guy and you're not moving your feet, they foul a lot.
I do feel like giving somebody a reach around should be a foul.
Okay, well, okay, then they're good at that.
Like, I don't know if that's in the rules or not. If, like, but that specific act, if you give somebody a reach around on the court, like, yeah. I don't know if that's, like, technically against the rules, but I feel like it should be. If it's,
the fans won't like it. The fans don't want to see it.
I'd be pretty interested to see it.
You would think that would be okay.
I don't know if it'd be okay, but
just
like
once or twice a game, if you saw that.
You know, sometimes the beauty of sports is like you see something that you've never seen before.
That's true.
So I've watched a lot of basketball in my life, but that's one thing that I have never seen. So I don't know if I'd watch the whole thing happen, but like I'd have to like just kind of like look through my hands and take a piece.
Of course you would. I just don't think they run that offense through their big guy. It's like they don't think he's talented enough. They just think he's a rebounder. He'll get some putbacks. He'll shoot free, you know, good free throws. But they don't run anything down low with him that he doesn't have to kick it back out to somebody. They just kind of still freelance it a little bit. How about the Pope? What was the Pope doing in this game?
Jordan Pope was terrible. And, you know, Texas, once Daylon Swain fouled out, their last two shots in regulation that they had were just Jordan Pope shots. One of them was a long two, a shot that he makes a lot, but one of them was a bad contested three out of a timeout, which there's no way it was the play that was actually called.
Yeah.
But Jordan Pope was horrible. And, you know, they really needed him to step up.
Well, they needed somebody to defend that little short dude that was tearing them apart.
Yeah, macro, the issue for Texas is they can't defend. Like, offensively, they're a pretty good team. According to KenPom, they are the 28th ranked offense in college basketball. That's NCAA tournament good level basketball that they're playing. Defensively, Buck, they're 109th in defensive efficiency. That is NIT stuff. Right there.
Yeah, you know, they've got the kid who comes off the bench that goes crazy, who can jump. And, I mean, that guy should have been defending that little guard. He was throwing him up. He like Iverson the way he was shooting. I mean, balls, I told you, like, world be free. That jump shot that he takes that goes so – that arcing shot.
Yeah.
And when he misses.
Well, he kicks his leg out five feet every time he shot.
Yeah, he would do that. He'd kick that front leg out at you. And the ball would go so high, but he was hot early. I was thinking they had to cool him off in the second half a little bit, and it sounds like they didn't.
They did for most of the second half, and then down the stretch, and then in overtime, he was really good. So Josh Hubbard had 38 for Mississippi State.
Man,
about 10 of 31 shooting, but he got to the line 15 times, made 12 of them. And had 20 points in the first half, didn't do much in the second half, but again, hit a big three to get State back into the game and then hit some big shots in overtime to give State the win.
Dude, he was having a hard time getting some of those shots off because guys were taller than he was, but he was shooting over the top of them.
Well, yeah, they can't defend, and they got crushed on the glass too. Mississippi State had 19 offensive rebounds, which Texas had been a pretty good defensive rebounding team. Sean Miller's in a tough spot. And he admitted this after the game. I'll play the sound in a second, but Texas just doesn't have a power forward right now. They don't. So they're getting nothing from Camden Heidi. They're getting nothing from Lasina Traore. They're getting
little skinny guys. Yeah.
Well, they have guys with the body type. They're just not good. So they end up having to play small with Daylon Swain at the four and three guards. And that doesn't help them with their rebounding. Mattis Vokatidis is like an okay rebounder, but he's not great. So it's like you either get nothing on offense and you're basically playing 4-on-5, or you give up a lot on the glass. And that's what Texas decided to do. And Mississippi State had 19 offensive boards. And that was a huge part of why they won that game. Texas couldn't defend, and then they didn't get rebounds when they did get stops.
And Pope can't defend a guy like that Hubbard kid because the taller guys can't defend him. So I know the Pope can't cover him.
As the kids say, Pope couldn't defend you or I in a phone booth.
Yeah, he struggles. He's a little dude. Yeah. He plays little.
Yeah. And Sean Miller, man, he was pretty real in the post-game press conference. And we got a couple of bits of sound from him. He was asked about, you know, he talked about his team just making some not smart plays. He said they lacked common sense in some big moments. He said they made dumb plays at times. He's like,
"Oh, you mean they're like the football team? Well, they're dumb too."
Unlike the football coach, the basketball coach is actually willing to say they're pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And here's Sean Miller talking about like some low IQ moments that he saw from his team and continues to see from his team.
Oh, it's, you know, I think I told you guys, like, a disciplined team, disciplined players. You know, coached by a disciplined coach and environment and staff. And we have to coach those guys better in those areas. Now, if I tell you not to cross the street, and I keep telling you, and I say, I swear, whatever you do, do not cross the street. and you do and the bus hits you, I'm going to take responsibility as your parent. But damn it, how many times do I have to tell you not to cross the street? We got some of that going on.
How many times do I tell you not to put your hand on the burning stove, you idiot? Really?
How about that? I mean, Sean Miller, not mentioning any names, but just like, you know, he's taking accountability. Some people might hear that and say, oh, there's a coach not taking accountability. There's
he's talking about his staff, too. He's talking about all of them.
Yeah, there's 15 times in that one presser where Sean Miller's like, it's on me. I got to coach better. Like, we have to be better as a staff. But there was some realness there from Sean Miller. It's like, some of it we could tell these guys 1,000 times. If they don't go out and do it, it's still our fault. That's the nature of the business. I've been coaching a long time. I know how this works.
I just got some dumb guy. Hey, folks, I just got some dumb guys.
What the hell am I supposed to do with some of this?
Yeah, but the head football coach won't do that to his guys.
No, not really.
He'll just say, oh, just reach and grab and hold. Don't worry about it. They'll miss it. They won't catch on to it.
Sean Miller trying to establish a culture there. And look, I mean, Texas fans are not happy that loss to Mississippi State. It's been a pretty disappointing first half of the year for Texas men's basketball. I won't argue against that. And if the season ended today, the Longhorns would not be dancing. But you're not going to do anything to Sean Miller. You're not going to move off from Sean Miller. Don't make any irrational judgments on Sean Miller in his first year with all that he had to do to get this program turned around. Like, I said the same thing about Steve Sarkisian when a lot of Longhorn fans wanted that dude fired after 5-7. Turned out to be the right move to give him a little bit of time to get this program figured out.
Well, I mean, he's saying what he feels. He's not holding back, and he's not worried about the sensitivity of his players. He's letting them know guys are dumb, right? You know? I mean, I'm going to have to coach up my guys and keep telling you, but you keep doing the same dumbass things over and over and over. I don't know what else I can do. What other way can I do it except for put you on the bench? I need you to play. I need you not to be dumb.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sark doesn't do that to his guys. They just do the same thing over and over and over. And all he says is, we got to get better at it. Okay, well, they're dumb, coach. Yeah, they got to get better at it.
Oh, man. You can tell them not to cross the street 100 times. And
oh, yeah. Then they get hit by the bus.
Get hit by the bus. But it's on me.
I'm still going to take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
But
here's the tough part for Texas basketball. Again, we mentioned that was one of their easier SEC games, at least on paper. Their next three games are maybe three of the hardest games they have in conference play. They're at Tennessee tomorrow. Tennessee's ranked in the top 20 with Rick Barnes. They're at number 14, Alabama, on Saturday, and then they host Vanderbilt, who's undefeated and is currently the highest-ranked team in the SEC at number 11, and they'll probably be in the top 10 when the new poll comes out later today. So three ranked teams, two of them on the road. That's the next three for Texas basketball. I mean, they are staring – Buck, they might be underdogs in all three of those games. They are staring an 0-4 start to conference play right in the face.
Yeah, well, that's not going to be fun for Sean Miller at all.
No, that is not going to be fun for any of us.
No.
I think. So, yeah, there's your Texas basketball. That was fun on Saturday night. They had so many chances to win that game. They win the game if the refs don't completely hose Dale and Swain. There's no doubt in my mind if the game wasn't officiated as poorly as it was, Texas wins. But you know who doesn't care about that, Buck? The NCAA Tournament Committee.
No.
They're not going to remember the officiating on a Texas-Mississippi State game on January 3rd when thinking about whether or not Texas should get in or be left out.
Yeah, because they're going to see a Mississippi State team that's not going to make it, and they're going to say, you lost to them?
At home. Yeah, that's what they're going to see. So, I mean, Texas has a long way to go to get in the NCAA tournament conversation. They got to start winning some games against some quality competition, because right now they only have one win against a major conference team. That's NC State, who's not very good. I think Texas is 1-5 now against Power Six college basketball conference teams.
You got to get on the boards. I don't know what they do, but they need a, like I said, they need a forward. They need a guy with some strength too. But you say they're just not any good. It's just like having a body in the paint getting in the way.
He's got to figure it out. And I know Zay's been talking about Declan Duru a little bit, who's a freshman who's 6'8 from Germany. He's played a little bit at times this year. Looks like a puppy out there, hadn't been playing basketball for very long in his life. And, coaching staff clearly hasn't felt that he's ready, but he is a guy who can play the four. They might just need to trot him out there in these next few games just to see with what they're throwing out there. It ain't good enough right now.
So. Yeah, like I said, they don't go through their big guy.
No, some games they do. That game, I mean, Vokatidis did shoot 18 free throws on Saturday. He only had 5 field goal attempts, but a lot of that was because he kept getting fouled when he did get the ball down low. But yeah, no, I mean, it was, again, you score 98 points, you should win.
That's true. It doesn't matter what who you're playing.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing some NBA team, any college team, you get 98. Yeah, probably 85, 90% of those games, you should win those games.
You're right. They just couldn't get stops, unfortunately. So there you go. There's your Texas men's basketball. Congrats to the Texas women's basketball team. They stay undefeated. They took down number 15, Ole Miss, yesterday. Great game at the Moody Center. 67-64, the final. Texas led by 15 after the third quarter and just got incredibly cold down the stretch. Ole Miss cut it to 3 a couple of times, but big and one for Jordan Lee, big and one for Ashton Judd. Texas was able to hold on. Buck, the Horns are off to their best start. They're 17-0. Best start for Texas women's basketball since the 85-86 season when they went undefeated and won the national championship. So they're off to a great start. Number 2 in the country right now. Haven't lost a game. They've won 35 straight in Austin. It's a damn good basketball team for Vic Schaefer. And that's going to be your tournament team here in Austin, Texas this year.
You know, what is up with Weaver? I mean, a guy scores 38. He's taller than that little dude who was playing guard. I know. Hey, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to score any points for you. Might as well let him in the game and let him get 5 fouls because he's not going to do anything else. He's not going to score 10 or 15 points in the game. So if he gets 5 fouls, who cares? But you can't let a guy score 38. That's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. I mean, Kendall Weaver played 32 minutes. He played a bunch in the game.
He doesn't cover that guy. Is he too big? I mean, Was Pope trying to cover that dude?
They were trying all sorts of coverages on Josh Hubbard.
He was just firing balls up after half court.
Right. Yeah.
And he did take a lot of shots. I know he's a volume shooter, dude.
I mean, he shot less than 33% from the floor in the game. He just kept shooting. And he kept getting to the line because the refs were calling everything. And he'd kick out his leg and he'd get 3 free throws because of that. Like, I don't know. It's bad right now. So
don't cross the street. I'm going to tell you again, don't cross the street.
Don't cross. I'm going to play that again. I'm sorry. It's too funny. Sean Miller post game Saturday.
No, I think I told you guys, like, a disciplined team, disciplined players, you know, coached by a disciplined coach and environment and staff. And we have to coach those guys better in those areas. Now, if I tell you not to cross the street, and I keep telling you, and I say, I swear, whatever you do, do not cross the street. And you do, and the bus hits you. I'm going to take responsibility as your parent. But damn it, how many times do I have to tell you not to cross the street? We got some of that going on.
We got some of that going on, man.
I wish you elaborated, like, hey, What do you mean? Give us some examples. And also,
here's the name of the two dummies that keep crossing the street.
I know he would never say that. He would never say who. But yeah, I mean, I went and watched. It was like a 22-minute presser, probably 15 for Sean Miller. A couple of players spoke. I think Sean Miller's probably was probably 15, 16 minutes. And I watched the entire thing. I was like so entertained because I want my coach to be real. I don't want coach speak all that. When the team's playing bad, don't just tell me, oh, we're not executing. Like, I can't stand that shit.
We just haven't executed the plays and all that.
The team's playing bad. Like, I need you to be real with me and tell me, hey, what's going on and, like, what can be done about it? And Sean Miller has been very real and open. Now, I prefer him win versus just telling me what's going wrong. But I was entertained, I guess, tuned into that post-game presser late Saturday night. It was a nice change of pace from the typical cliches you get from coaches.
Walk on the side of the road. Do not cross the road, you idiot.
Cross the street, idiot.
That's something.
Oh, man. All right. We will we'll get to the NFL. We haven't talked any NFL yet. The playoffs are set. What a great couple of days of action we had over the weekend, especially that nightcap last night, the back and forth between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. My
speed of not playing any defense. Wow. Yeah,
no kidding. That fourth quarter defense optional in that one. But before we get to the NFL, Buck, how about another round of sponsor shout outs?
Our friends over at Relax the Back embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years of proven expertise. And folks, my back couldn't be happier. My back feels great today. I'm back in my Relax the Back chair. I sat in a big taco during the weekend because I was lazy, but a bunch of pillows, and my back started to ache. I got back in this chair this morning, and it feels fantastic. Their motto is to live wellness, and you'll be happier if you did. If you go by the Relax the Back store, I'm telling you, if you got some neck, shoulder, back, lumbar area, thoracic pain, if you go by one of the Relax the Back stores and look at some of the accessories they have, I'm not necessarily saying that you have to have a chair, but if you spend a lot of time in front of the computer at your office or at home, a good chair will really, really work for you. And Relax the Back has all the different types of chairs that are available for you at the two Relax the Back stores. Tempur-Pedic pillows, mattresses. They've got all those wonderful massage chairs. You name it, they've got it there. Something that's going to make you feel good, or somebody that you care about feel good. Two great locations, the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center, right across the street from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the Buck at Relax the Back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Also, shout out to Ryan Hurricane Hecht.
Yes, sir.
Your go-to personal injury attorney here in Central Texas. Hurricane Hecht has been a personal friend of mine for more than a decade, and he's been fighting for justice and big results for a decade plus. He is the very best at what he does. If you or somebody you know gets injured in a car accident, gets hurt on the job, suffers any kind of personal injury, don't call the jabronis you see on TV. You're not going to get to work with them. They're going to pawn you off on some jabroni, right? Some kid who's just out of law school, has no idea what they are doing. They're too busy filming commercials. With Hurricane Hecht, you get Hurricane Hecht every single time. You call him and he is going to fight for you. He's a great guy. He's compassionate with clients, but he is a junkyard dog in the courtroom, and he's going to fight to get you every dollar that you deserve. If you suffer a personal injury, you're going through enough trying to get your life back on track. Don't fight the insurance companies alone. You need an expert who's going to be there for you. That's Hurricane Hecht. 512-938-8929. That's his phone number. You can find out more online at hechtlawfirm.com. Let Hurricane Hecht blow their case wide open and flood your pockets with cash.
Sweet. Love Hurricane Hecht.
Also, I forgot to crack this open, Buck. Might have to save this for tomorrow.
Well, what is that one? Is that new?
We got a. I think it's new to me. I think it's been around for a while, but.
Did you say banana cream?
Got a banana cream Olipop.
Wow.
Do a taste test tomorrow morning on this one.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to enjoy it for the entire show. I forgot I had this sitting next to me.
That chill in the fridge for a night.
Got to. Yeah, it's a little warm now. It's literally been sitting out for the last 2 hours right next to me. The banana cream Olipop, one of more than 20 different flavors that they have. Great tasting soda that's actually good for you. The easiest New Year's resolution that you can make. Less than 50 calories, only 4 grams of sugar in this entire can, about 9 grams of fiber, and a bunch of other ingredients that support good digestive health. You can enjoy what you're drinking with Olipop. Your gut is going to love you as well. So many flavors available everywhere. Any grocery store, any convenience store, you can find Olipop.
Sweet.
Get you some. All right, Buck, the NFL playoffs are set. The Dallas Cowboys will not be in them.
Well, we knew that from the beginning.
We kind of did know that from the beginning.
Yeah, we did. We knew that before the season even started.
Like once they traded Micah Parsons, it's like...
It's over.
Right. I mean, I don't know if there was much chance before they traded Micah Parsons, but once they got rid of that dude, it's... Okay, we're focused on 2026. The Houston Texans are in the playoffs, and they will open up next Monday. They get the nightcap of the Super Wild Card weekend, the Texans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Houston Texans, Buck, have never won a road playoff game. How crazy is that?
Man.
They usually win the AFC South, so they get to host a first-round game, and they usually win those, and then when they go on the road, they lose in round two. It's usually how it works, right? The Texans have never been to a conference championship, and they've always had to go on the road for their second game, and they can't win it. Now, wild card weekend, they are 3-point favorites.
That was the opening line. Pittsburgh, brother.
They are going to Pittsburgh for that first round game, thanks to Pittsburgh winning that thriller against Baltimore last night. How you feel about the Texans' chances?
I like their chances. I like their chances. Offensively, they play. If what I saw Pittsburgh's defense last night, where they don't cover people, there'll be all kinds of Texans running through that secondary, you know, and that defense will be all over Aaron Rodgers. I didn't see enough from Pittsburgh. That was so sloppy a game. The Ravens couldn't cover them. They couldn't cover. There's just no coverage.
Well, it was weird. It was a defensive strike. Like, neither team could do anything offensively for three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, it was just nobody could get stops.
I just don't understand how guys get so wide open.
Right. Again, it felt like every touchdown in the fourth quarter was going to be a game winner. Right. Like, yes. The Ravens had that. It was 13-10 going into the fourth, Buck. The Ravens get that long touchdown to Zay Flowers, the first long touchdown to Zay Flowers. They go up 17-13, and I'm like, that might be it.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to be able to score a touchdown in this game. That might be enough to win. And then Pittsburgh marches down the field, and they score a touchdown. And it's like, okay, that's got to be it. Like, there's no way Baltimore can get lucky again. There's not going to be a coverage bust like that. And then three plays, 73 yards, Baltimore scores a touchdown. And I'm like, okay, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
And then Pittsburgh scores a touchdown. And then Baltimore gets into field goal range, and then they miss a
game. I know. How's the cold going to affect the Texans? Because it's going to be stinking cold. Is that a night tilt?
Monday night. And the Steelers, by the way, have won 23 straight Monday night home games. Right. I think all of those have been in the regular season, so this one a different beast. But Pittsburgh has been nearly impossible to beat. So, hey, streaks are made to be broken.
That doesn't sound like you. You're a numbers guy.
Zero road playoff wins in franchise history for Houston, and Pittsburgh's won 23 straight home Monday night games. So I don't know. Like, I'm going to pick the Texans to win because I think they're better. I think the Texans are catching a break here by playing Pittsburgh instead of Baltimore. I just feel like Lamar Jackson is better than Aaron Rodgers. And like, that Ravens team has more talent than the Steelers team does. And I just feel like that would have been a tougher team for the Texans to go beat.
Pittsburgh, like, the receiver comes back. He's off of his suspension, right?
Yeah. DK Metcalf will return for this game. I just think about what Pittsburgh did against Cleveland last week, where Myles Garrett, who broke the record yesterday for most sacks in a single season. He's obviously a monster, but Aaron Rodgers was so scared of Myles Garrett in the Browns pass rush. He was horrible in that game.
Yeah, he was worried about him breaking the sack record, and that's all he was looking out for the entire game.
It felt that way.
Hey, he's got guys on both sides now.
Right. The Texans have the best pass rush in the league as a team. So I don't think the Steelers' offensive line is that good. Baltimore's pass rush sucks. And Aaron Rodgers, the last time he played against a very good defense that got a consistent pass rush, he looked like he was 80 years old. Forget 40.
Yeah, I think he'll struggle.
I feel good about the Texans defense carrying them to a win. It'll be a struggle for the Texans offense because most of this year has been. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers and company, even with DK Metcalf returning, I don't think they're good enough against Houston's defense.
And that gave you some hope of what you saw out of Pittsburgh's secondary last night.
Yeah, it did. No, you're right. It did. Derrick Henry had some big runs too. Now the Texans don't have a Derrick Henry. Nobody does.
Those dudes didn't want to tackle that guy. It was cold. Oh my God. They were like, no, no thanks.
And you know,
those are real business decisions.
Right. You know what I could think about last night? You know, it's Tyler Loop, the rookie, missed that 44-yard field goal. Wasn't even close. That would have got Baltimore into the playoffs. They cut their kicker for being horny 10 years ago. You think they regret cutting Justin Tucker, the greatest kicker in NFL history?
Wow.
For allegedly being horny a decade ago? I think they wish they had him last night.
Pushed to the right, and it wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close. Oh, after Boswell, the Steelers kicker, missed the extra point.
No.
You thought he was going to be the GOAT, the bad GOAT. And then instead, he's off the hook because the Ravens kicker just totally shamed.
Now, that Ravens kicker's a rookie, right?
Rookies. Had a pretty good year. Just no one cares about that now.
No, nobody cares about that at all. He didn't get us in the playoffs. You missed the damn field goal.
I'm not a Ravens fan. I'd rather have a kicker who likes a nice R&T who can make that kick than one who can't.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? So, by the way,
it leaves a little something behind.
Right. By the way, speaking of history, the Houston Texans have been in the wild card round 8 times. This will be their 9th. This is the first time they're not playing in the Saturday afternoon window. The Texans have always, every time they've made it to this round of the playoffs, they have played in the first game.
That's right. Of
Super wild card weekend. And now they're moving to Monday. So congrats to the Texans fans who always got that, hey, you're not very good and your fan base isn't that big and we don't care about you very much. So we're just
you had the Monday night slot.
Yeah. Thanks to the Carolina Panthers for making the playoffs. That's the first game. It's the Rams and the Panthers on Saturday.
You know, that Monday night in Pittsburgh is going to be so damn cold.
It will be cold.
Oh.
Yeah. Should we do an early weather check?
Yeah, check out the weather for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Not too bad. Next Monday.
40.
35 is the high. 28 is the low.
35 is the high.
I'm seeing a little sunshine, though. I'm not seeing some snow. You can deal with that. You can deal with 33, 30.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers still has, even though he lives there now, he has and has been in that weather. That still sucks for an old man.
Yeah, it does.
Especially when you're worried about guys coming from not just one side, but from both sides and in the middle.
I'm feeling good about the Texans there. So the playoffs are set. Again, there's your Texans game. They're the one Texas team that's represented. Your other first round games, Rams at Panthers. Panthers actually beat LA in week 13 in Carolina. So I think most people assume the Rams are going to win that, but not so fast, my friend, in the words of Lee Corso. You've got Packers at Bears, one of the best rivalries in football. How about that for a wild card game? That's Saturday night. Your three Sunday games, Bills at Jaguars, 49ers at Eagles, Chargers at Patriots. You're yawning, so I guess you hate these games. And then your Monday night game, Texans at the Steelers.
I got the Jags to win their game.
That's a good one right there. Buffalo at Jacksonville. And God, all three of those Sunday games are pretty intriguing. 49ers at Eagles that's awesome. The winner of that game could win the NFC. It could win the Super Bowl. I mean, they're the last two NFC representatives in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's a conference championship feeling wild card game right there. And then Chargers, Patriots. I'm not a huge believer in Justin Herbert against good teams. I think he just beats up on bad teams. And whenever he has to play in big games against great defenses, he struggles. But we'll see. New England, obviously, it's Drake May's first playoff game, and it's been a while since they've been there. So, I don't know. I think every game is pretty intriguing. The Rams-Panthers game kind of sucks because the Panthers are 8-9, and they're hosting a playoff game. It's ridiculous. But again, Carolina did beat LA a month ago. So maybe that game is better than we might think early on.
Yeah, that's exciting next week. There's a lot to watch.
Yeah, there is. And congrats to the Las Vegas Raiders who have clinched the number one pick in the NFL draft. They are on the clock.
They're on the University of Indiana clock now.
Yeah, and because they beat Kansas City. They actually had the number one pick wrapped up before they even played yesterday. Because they beat the Chiefs now have a top 10 pick in the draft. Way to go, everyone.
Man, give them some more firepower.
Exactly. So there you go. Yep, Vegas, the Jets, Arizona, Tennessee, New York Giants. Those are your top 5 picks in the NFL draft. And, boy, the Giants had a chance to be number one, and then they effed around and won 2 games at the end of the year.
Yeah, what was that all about? You know, Jackson Dart, pretty good player.
Yeah, they don't need a quarterback, but, you know, you still want to have a high pick because you could trade to somebody who does need a quarterback.
Yes, you do.
And you could pick up a bunch of draft capital when you do something like that.
You're right about that.
Look, I don't like the Giants. I feel for Wags because he's a Giants fan. But, there you go. There's your NFL headlines. Any early thoughts on your Super Bowl predictions?
For some reason, I'm thinking Philly's going to be right back at it again.
Okay.
You know, I like Philly up, and I also like the Rams.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to believe that the New England Patriots are for real. I don't want that to start happening again. But they're pretty good.
Yeah, the AFC is very confusing to me because I. I just don't know if I believe in Denver. I don't believe in Denver. I don't believe in any of the division winners, right? I have to, but like, I don't trust Denver yet. I don't trust New England yet. I will never trust Jacksonville. I don't think Pittsburgh's any good. I know Buffalo is the sixth seed, but God, doesn't it feel like this is their time?
Yeah, but I want to keep saying that. And on the other side, I want to keep saying that the 49ers are too banged up. But damn, can they play good. When they're playing good, even with their backups, they're tough. Yeah. You know, Purdy's playing pretty good.
I think the NFC is better than the AFC. I just have more confidence in those teams. And, you know, I mean, the AFC, it's always been the Chiefs. I think this is the first time since 2018.
If they would have just made it in, I would have picked them.
Right. I think most people would have, too. I think it's the first time since 2018 that the Chiefs or the Bengals will not be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would have picked if the Chiefs were even in it, no matter how banged up they are or somebody's hurt or this guy's not going to play or this tackle's screwed up or they don't have a running back, I would have picked them.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people would have done the same there too. All right, one more two more funny pieces of audio here for the people. You know, we spent some time talking about that spectacular Ravens-Steelers Sunday night game. What a way to put a bow on the 2025 NFL regular season. Mike Tomlin, after the game, was asked, you got the question in there too, so you can hear how it's worded, but he was basically asked, like, what would have happened if Tyler Loop made that field goal and you guys lost? Here was the back and forth.
That kick, season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
I'm glad that expression.
Oh, that was great.
I feel like, you know, cancel culture, maybe a lot of people are a little scared to say something like that. You know?
That is awesome.
Season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
That is great.
And that was the last question and answer of the entire press conference, too. My aunt had male parts. She'd be my uncle. And then there's like kind of like a quiet chuckle from a couple of members of the press. Probably because
they were afraid I would have fallen on the floor laughing.
Yeah. I don't think I would have been able to keep it in that situation. No. I think I would have just lost it. And, you know, some folks are like, wait, I can't laugh too loud. I don't want to get to
somebody's going to report that I was the one making all the noise laughing.
Yeah, these people,
they would have had to report me because I would have been on the floor laughing.
So funny. A great answer. It's hey, don't ask me a hypothetical question like that unless you want an answer like that. But I'm glad that question was asked, and I'm glad Mike Tomlin answered it the way he did. Last bit of audio here. This is from Jason Kidd, Buck, the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. We've got another question and answer here. He was asked, you know, Cooper Flagg having a great rookie season for the Mavs. But he was asked about a rookie wall. Like, Cooper Flagg, that's a thing in every sport, right? A rookie hits a bit of a wall midway through the season. They're playing more games than they've ever played at a higher level than they've ever played. So Jason Kidd was asked, kind of, how do you get Cooper Flagg through the rookie wall? And I'm not really sure he was talking about basketball here.
You know, the rookie wall. You've been there. How, in your conversations with him, how can you help him kind of get through that process?
He's got to touch it. He's got to rub it and hold it. He's got to embrace it. That's just a mental thing. For the great ones, they touch it. They don't run from it. They find a way to go over it or through it or around it because it's not going to move. And so for him, it's just, you know, understanding that, embracing it, and just like, you know, playing point guard, it's going to be uncomfortable. But he's responded in a positive way. He's going to find a way to get off the rookie wall.
Hey, just feel it and touch it and measure it.
Let me go ahead and read the quote there. He's got to touch it. He's got to rub it and hold it. He's got to embrace it. That's just a mental thing. For the great ones, they touch it. They don't run from it. They find a way to go over it or through it or around it because it's not going to move.
Can't be afraid of it. You got to go attack it.
According to Jason Kidd, the biggest way to get over a rookie wall is having your head coach teaching you how to jerk off. That apparently is the way to prevent hitting that rookie wall. I mean, what is he saying? Touch it, rub it, hold it, embrace it. The great ones, they touch it.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Jason. I don't know. Now I know how you handled it.
Go through it or
everybody's not having to touch it. And I mean, well, you have to touch it at times. I mean, I don't have to embrace it and measure it, you know, and make it jump over the wall.
It's not going to move. It's not going to move. It's going to be there. So just go ahead. The great ones embrace it. The great ones rub it. The great ones
go through it.
Yeah, they finish it. It's no problem right there. It is no problem.
This is a man finishing another man. Right? And I don't know if you should be punished for that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You should not be punished for that. All right. Let's bring on the boys from Chaos.
Your coaches, BK.
Yeah.
Your coaches and owners of your teams are just something.
How about that?
Snag it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no.
Yeah. Have y'all ever heard that from a basketball coach? Like, rub it.
Hey, whatever works, man.
A little Bill Bib DeVoe going on.
Honestly, it feels that way.
Call me great, buddy. Call me great.
Dude, wait till you hear the Sean Miller stuff that BK has, guys. That is awesome. Sean Miller's not afraid to call his guys dumb.
Wish the football coach would do that. Whatever works.
Yeah. Right? We'll see if it works for Sean Miller basketball. But, yeah, no, a little bit of a difference from what we usually get from
Coach
Sarkisian from Sean Miller there. He calls it like he sees it. He's not happy with his team, but he also has taken a ton of accountability. He knows it's on him. Again, this guy's been coaching for a long time. He knows how this industry works, but he's definitely frustrated right now, as I think most of us are watching this basketball
team. Keep
crossing
that street. I tell him, don't cross that street, you know, Mags. But that kid, I tell him, don't cross over there. I don't care why the chicken crossed the road. I know he wants to get on the other side, but Sean Miller's like, don't get on the other side. Don't cross the road. And they keep doing it.
I'm playing it. I'm playing it again. One last time. It's too good. Sean Miller post game after the overtime loss to Mississippi State.
No, it's, you know, I think I told you guys, like, a disciplined team, disciplined players, you know, coached by a disciplined coach and environment and staff. And we have to coach those guys better in those areas. Now, if I tell you not to cross the street and I keep telling you and I say, I swear, whatever you do, do not cross the street. And you do, and the bus hits you. I'm going to take responsibility as your parent. But damn it, how many times do I have to tell you not to cross the street? We got some of that going on.
Yeah.
Oh.
We got some
Dad's going to be upset tomorrow against Tennessee. So,
you know.
It'd be great. Hopefully they come out with a fire under their ass and they pull off an upset on the road and get the season turned around a little bit. They need to start stacking some resume building wins, because right now they don't have much of a resume, gentlemen.
Well, and I like that he's doing that, because what it's doing, it's really letting the 8 Texas baseball or basketball fans, including you, BK, know.
That's right. There's 9.
Truly where this team is. I mean, if he's over here blowing smoke up everybody's skirt, you know, talking about how that, you know, we're right there. I mean, that kind of stuff right there tells me we ain't even close.
Saying we're dumb. We're our coaches are coaching things I want them to coach, and nobody's listening yet. We got to keep on doing it. But I'm gonna tell you, he's letting you know that they're coaching the right thing. He just got some knuckleheads that keep doing the same exact things over and over and over.
Yeah,
now we'll see if he replaces them, or does he have anybody to replace them with?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. And you're missing some pretty vital pieces at this point. So we'll see if they get that in order. But hey, did y'all see Jaden Blue running the ball yesterday?
Oh yeah, he ran hard.
My man,
looked like a running guy.
Yeah, in the first half, they're ready to call him a Pro Bowler.
Mm. They were all over him, weren't they?
Then Dak went out.
Yeah, and then that was it. Yeah, the Joe Milton experience is not one that I need any more of.
Come on, don't write it off just yet.
God, the Cowboys have a knack for trading for quarterbacks with a ton of potential. They're not good, Trey Lance. They're not good, Joe Milton. But God, you see their arm? You see how far they could throw the football?
Yeah.
One in every 15 plays, they do something.
We have to give up a draft pick to get those guys. We can't be without them. We need them on our team.
Let anybody else take them.
Can't let anybody. No. I mean, did you watch the Chargers? You watch Trey Lance play for the Chargers? I can't believe the Cowboys let him go.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's like when those dudes kick 90-yard field goals on TikTok. It's like, yeah, No rush. Nobody coming at him.
Right. Yeah. Tyler Loop is telling you, man, Tugger would have been good yesterday.
Oh, man.
Rubbing yeah. Tugger.
You missed that dude last night.
I'm telling you, man, the guy was horny 10 years ago. He could still kick the football. I want him on that wall.
You think he's still kicking in the backyard somewhere?
I don't know. I think it strikes me as he's probably so pissed off at football that he doesn't even want to see the damn football anymore or what. I don't know what's going on with Tugger Nuts anymore.
I think he's well, he also has a suspension. Like if he
does, he can't be around anybody.
He's done.
He just can't roll back in there.
Like, is that a massage joke? Like a massage roller?
Well, he had no problem with the rookie wall.
No. Yeah.
He was letting other people tug it and embrace it and
oh my god.
All of those great things. 2 hour chaos theory today, guys. Thanks for doing it. What's on the docket?
Got a little bit of individual accolades for NFL. Gonna go over rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, MVP, offense player of the year, defense player of the year, shit like that.
There we go. Yeah. All right.
All that good stuff.
All right, boys, listen, have a great one. I'm going to go. Speaking of rub and whatever, I got to go get stretched right now.
Whoa.
Boy.
I'm headed to the stretch zone, my Monday stretch.
Go ahead and Facebook Live that for the people.
No, the lady that does the stretching, she's an Aggie. She got me last time after that. Last time I saw her was after the win. And boy, my knee was sore for like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's how good it was. You felt it in your knee.
Dang.
She got me back. I knew she was going to get me. Yeah. Y'all have a good one, man.
Later,
man.